All right, Josh, we are back with another Pixar character bracket. We are back with our side character 2 bracket, and I'm so excited to dig into some more Pixar characters. Bing Bong, the big winner from side 1 of the bracket. I'm super excited, Josh, to go through it today. How do you feel about what we got going on today, Josh?
I am pumped. Last time was really fun. A lot of cutthroat conversations.
Yeah, I'm excited
for our third party to be here. I've known him forever, and we couldn't disagree on more things in life. So I am very interested to see how this goes.
All right. So why don't you just go ahead and introduce our guests today?
All right. So for those of you who have been listening from day one, you'll know this wonderful character, Joshua Clark, lifelong best friend of mine, known him forever. He was on the Finding Nemo episode with me.
Right.
So if you've been listening, you've heard him before, and I'm excited for him to jump in and be with us today, because we definitely, Zach and I learned, we have to have a third party for this. We do not agree at all.
Josh, I can't remember if Josh did this on your podcast, but say a little bit about your Pixar origin story.
Yeah, I think I did, but I'll restate some of that. I grew up watching Pixar movies with my family. It was definitely like a thing that was prioritized by my parents. So from a very early age, my parents were really impressed with the storytelling and the intentionality behind the people over at Pixar. And so whenever a new Pixar movie came out, we were at the theater seeing it. I actually had the opportunity to go to the red carpet premiere of Cars and get to meet the cast.
I think Josh did mention that. Way cool.
And so that was really cool. So longtime Pixar fan. Admittedly, in recent years, I've kind of fallen off. Fewer of their movies, frankly, have interested me in the last decade or so. And so I've seen fewer of them. The ones that I have seen have mostly held up to the standard of the older ones, but I definitely loved them as a kid. But yeah, as early as I can remember, Pixar was a big part of my life as far as family stuff and just movies in general. And it's fair to say it inspired a lot of my passion for cinema nowadays, which is now what I get to do for a living is I work in film. So I love Pixar and I really always have. And you know, I'm at an age where some of those films, particularly Toy Story, you know, is even older than I am. So like, even as a very, very little kid, was exposed to those. So
it's been, been a part of your life. Yeah.
Yep. So,
all right, boys, we have a job to do today. We have 32 Pixar side characters, and we are going to whittle them all the way down to 1. And that is quite the job we have here today. The way we're going to do that is just like any bracket would be. We are going to pair these characters up. I've randomized the 32 that we've thrown in into this bracket, and we are just going to go through them. And so some of them might be easy, some of them might be hard, that's how we do it. And the way that we did it with Ethan on the last one, I think worked, is we will take turns as far as who starts the conversation. We'll just find a groove and we will get to it. Any questions?
I think so. I'll add in, I think you may have already mentioned it for anybody who's, this is the second one you're listening to. It's going to be very familiar, very similar, because there are a lot of really good side characters in Pixar. So we did the side character bracket. This is the second side character.
Yeah, we were able to literally find 64 side characters that merited being in
good ones
bracket. Yeah. And that this has nothing to do with the villains of the movie, nothing to do with the main people in the movie. This is all just what we considered side characters.
Yep. So and we have two more brackets coming up. That'll be, one will be the heroes and one will be the villains.
Yep.
So I think I do have one question.
All right, hit me.
Based on what criteria does should we decide a character advances? Like, is it just how much we like them?
Great question.
How good they
The criteria for me
in general, yeah,
is I think we talked about this in the last one. I'm going straight off vibes today. That's what I'm gonna be doing. I'm going to be just in the moment. Who do I like better? And that's gonna be me. For it's personal. You don't have to go like, oh, this character means more to society. If that's how you want to do it, that's fine. It's really whatever criteria you would like to bring to the table is kind of where we're at.
Okay. At this point, it's been a while since we recorded the last one. I can't remember what criteria. I think all three of us ended up kind of on the same criteria, or we each had our own groove by the end of it. Like, mm-hmm. You kind of knew this is the criteria that I base it off of. I think for me, it was a mixture of screen time and relevance to the story.
I think you're right, Josh.
Was kind of what I ended up landing on. But it's personal. I said going into it that I was going to include, like, how cool or attractive the characters were. And I think I ended up disregarding it altogether halfway through, but that's, it's purely whatever you want to vote for. You could just say, I'm going to pick the most random one, the one that no one would suspect. And that's how I'm going to pick your criteria.
Okay, yep. Cool.
So are we ready?
I believe so.
Ready as I can be.
All right.
What a hard job we have.
Let me pull it up here. All right. For the first one, and Josh, I know you said that there were some movies that you didn't really have a basis for, and that's okay. And so if we land on a character that you don't really know as well, hopefully Josh and I can come to a consensus. Maybe you can Google him in the time and see what he looks like. However we needed to do it, we'll cross that bridge if we come to it.
All right.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah,
ready.
All right. So the first matchup in the first round is a battle between someone who might get some flack for maybe not being a side character, almost like Riley did in our first one, Josh. We have Andy from the Toy Story series.
Andy Riley would have been a good matchup.
That's a good conversation we should maybe have at some point. Andy from Toy Story and Terry from 22, or from, sorry, I always think of 22, from Soul.
Yeah. Which Terry?
I think the concept of Terry. Josh, why don't you start, Hall?
All right. So, Clark, quickly Google.
I've seen Soul. I know Terry.
Okay. So jumping in, we're going Andy, the cornerstone of the Toy Story franchise. Not the main character, not even like you don't really know much about him at all, but the movies can't happen without him. And that's three good movies and one all right movie.
Well, I was about to say the fourth one could happen without him, but no, he's definitely leaves his imprints in the fourth one as well.
Yeah. So, but then Terry's basically God. So, I mean, that's a hard one to vote against. But Terry's flat as a character can possibly be.
Yeah, I think that's the point.
They're almost
he's monotone. Literally two dimensional.
So that's hilarious. I said that. I'm going Andy. I don't think I can vote against Andy in this.
Yeah. All right, Josh, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so watching Soul, Terry was actually one of my favorite parts, like comedically at least. Because the accents of all of the like sort of great beyond characters with their like New Zealand-esque accent was hilarious, and for him in particular because he's like this one character who's kind of opposed to the rest of them. He's kind of mysterious and interesting, and he's definitely funny because he's like not evil but like mischievous, and he's like kind of an idiot at the same time. And I enjoyed those moments where he kind of was dumb, but I gotta go with Josh on this one. I think you know, you, Andy is in some sense the character that started it all for Pixar, and yeah, like it's the first Pixar film, and he's really the, like, he's the premise, basically, is that they're all his toys. So yeah, and I think over the course of the movies, you really come to love and get to know Andy, even if it's, you don't know much about him. So yeah, great character for sure. Definitely for better sure. than Terry.
For sure. This is going to be a clean sweep. Andy, I think definitely he is the reason the toys are the way that they are. I had the theory in Toy Story 3 that Woody is only so loyal because Andy needs him to be and wants him to be. And so, like, a lot of the characters, their love for Andy is why they do what they do. And so I definitely think that the scene at the end of Toy Story 3 definitely, like, yeah, we see Andy playing when he's a kid, but then when we see him as a teenager, he's like, man, these toys were important to me. Like, they mattered. Mm-hmm. And to yeah. see him voice that was something that was really special. And I think brought his character to a really cool close. And so clean sweep. Terry's awesome too. Like you said, Josh, a lot of funny bits and parts. And so I definitely think that is maybe unfortunate that he went out so soon, but Andy definitely takes the cake there.
I have to revise my statement, because I was confused and I had to read some wikis. I was thinking it was Jerry.
Yep.
No, Terry. I would maybe even make an argument that Terry could have been in the villain brackets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. He's definitely an antagonist.
Yeah.
So I would, but either way, it would have been Andy. I just, my information I gave, I was talking about the Jerrys, not about Terry, but right. I still vote Andy.
All right. Why don't we move on? We have. Now, this one I might have cheated a little bit as well. This is not really a character in a movie, but it is a character that shows up in every Pixar movie. It is the Luxo Lamp versus Fluke and Rudder from Finding Dory. I'll start this one. I think I'm going to pick, I love the Luxo Lamp. Obviously, that's where we get our name from, Lamp Stomp. But I really only put it because I needed an extra character. I think we could only find 31 characters that we actually really liked. I snuck him in. I wanted to have the conversation that he's a funny character. Obviously, there's a whole lot of animation and like you can see emotion, and as funny as it sounds, in this little lamp as he stomps the crap out of the eye every Pixar movie. But really? To be fair, I don't think he's actually in a Pixar movie technically. So I'm gonna pick Fluke and Rudder, who were definitely some of my favorite parts of Finding Dory. And so that's my pick, Josh.
I actually don't care about Fluke and Rudder. I had to Google them to know even who they were. You know who I didn't have to Google? The Lamp. So I and Luxo has a short.
He does. You're right.
Mind you, a very, very great short. Yes, so I mean, I
it's classic.
It might be my bias against all things Finding Dory coming out here. But man, I'm gonna go Luxo on this.
All right, Josh. I know. Yeah. I think Dory was maybe one that you hadn't seen.
It is. It was one that I, and it wasn't one that I like missed. You know, it was one that that came out and I was like, meh. So yes. Yeah, so I haven't seen it. So I don't. And those characters might be hilarious and great, but. Yeah, I mean, this kind of is like the Andy thing. It's like, you can't, like, the lamp, really, it's like, it's synonymous with Pixar, you know? And so, yeah, I gotta go with the lamp.
All right. I definitely can understand where y'all are coming from. That's awesome. All right. We will go with for the next round, our matchup is Rex versus Anger. Josh Clark, I'll let you start this one.
Okay, I got to think about this.
So yeah,
these are both great characters, and both from films that I really like. A pitfall of Inside Out, just in general, I think, is sometimes that the characters can be one-dimensional, which, I mean, that's
almost just, the point.
It's almost right, exactly. It's almost the point. And part of the story is them learning to not be, you know, like is Joy overcoming her inability to feel anything other than joy. And so that's sort of core to the film. And by extension, because it's an ensemble cast, the group as a whole has to overcome that same hurdle by the end of the movie. But you see that less so with the side characters, like Joy, with Anger and with Disgust and Fear.
Yeah.
And yet you could also argue that maybe Anger has more of a character arc than Rex does, but Rex is just hilarious, man. Rex, some of my favorite moments in the Toy Story franchise, particularly in Toy Story 2, which is my favorite Toy Story movie,
yeah,
come from Rex and his interactions with other characters. I'm realizing how much my bias is coming into play with
the
three of these rounds so much.
Yeah. Be biased.
Yep. Here's what I'll bring it down to as the final criteria. Which is a more memorable character between these two?
Yeah.
Definitely Rex.
Yeah.
Because Anger is just that, and he's almost more like set dressing. He's almost part of the setting for the characters who actually have a story to play in, and he's sort of like fuel for some really good jokes. But Rex is funny because he's more of a complex character who has like these interesting like insecurities and like hilarious complexes that are ironic because he's a Tyrannosaurus, but he's so like timid and right. fearful.
Yep.
So yeah, I gotta go with Rex. He's a great character.
I think that I would have to say that I agree. I love Inside Out. And it's a great movie, but Anger is not even a little bit why. I think he's right. probably one of my least favorite parts of Inside Out. As far as the five emotions, he's probably my least favorite. And so for me, it's pretty easy Rex for a lot of the same reasons that you play. When I think of Rex, I think of him trying to play the Buzz Lightyear video game, and that just cracks me up every time. And so Rex for me. Josh?
We should lock ourselves in a closet and say that curse word we know. It's a good one. I love Anger. He's so funny, but this was a hard, like, he would have matched up and beat a lot of people, but this is, you can't beat Rex that easily. He's too, like, every movie there's the main characters and the side characters. Because there's so many Toy Stories, there's side characters to the side characters within Toy Story, and he mm-hmm. falls in that like smaller circle. So he's not a main character, but he's about as close as you can get without actually being one. So he's so well developed. He has so many funny parts. Like, you could, if you were to just number the funny parts of Anger and Rex, there's no way Anger comes close.
Yeah.
And he plays pivotal parts in the story at many different times in each of the movies. So I've got to go Rex too. It's clean sweep.
All right, Josh, our next matchup is one from Josh Hall is from Finding Dory. And one from Monsters University. So we have two sequel characters that neither were in the original. We have Art from Monsters U, and we have Destiny from Finding Dory. Thoughts, Josh Hall?
All right, so Destiny is one of the only redeeming things that I felt came from Finding Dory. And Art doesn't do a whole lot for the team. Everybody has their moment. I can't remember his. Like, everybody at some point, like, they wouldn't have won or done something if it wasn't for that person. I literally can't remember his. He might have one, I just don't remember it. Destiny really does play a huge role in the whole aquarium time that Dory is searching and trying to get around, and is the source of a lot of the comedic relief in that movie that doesn't come from too absurd of things. Destiny has the I can't remember the word for it, but has the vision issues, but has the sense, right? So there's still a little bit of his absurdism to it, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I think I'm going to have to go Destiny on this.
Interesting. I think I'm going to have to agree. If it was one of the other characters from Monster U, like if it was Dawn or one of the other guys, I think that I may have picked them. But Art is, I think I maybe even picked him as my favorite character from that movie. But a lot of what he does is very one-dimensional, kind of like we mentioned before. But so Destiny, I think, adds more towards the story and does more in the movie and has more room to play. Ironically, she doesn't have more room to play in the aquarium, so she makes more room to play by jumping in the ocean. But that's, I think I'm going to have to go with Destiny as well, Josh. All right, Josh Clark, I know you haven't seen Dory. I know we got at least two from there already, but thoughts, any thoughts you have to add about Art or...
Well, I was trying to think, I was like, well, what criteria should I base this on? And I know that y'all have both voted for Destiny now, so it doesn't really matter. But honestly, just based on character design, just because I was like, oh, I'll Google this character because I've never seen Finding Dory. Also, I gotta say, Josh makes a good point about Art in Monsters University. I love Monsters U. It's a great movie. He wasn't a super memorable part of it. That character, he wasn't a particularly like funny part of it to my recollection. I think I gotta go with Destiny as well, even though I haven't seen the film, because I like the idea of like a nearsighted whale shark. That's kind of hilarious. I think we can call it a clean sweep with that one as well. Yeah.
Great. Very well. All right. We have the next matchup is an interesting one. We have Fear from Inside Out, and we have Fortown from Turning Red. It's my turn to start, and I am so excited to do this. It's Fortown for life, baby. Oh, I will literally sometimes listen to their songs in my car by myself, and I am just as much as crazy for Fortown as the four girls are in the movie. Fortown for life. John Robert, that was the only name I remember, but those boys have my heart, and they have my vote in this round. Because it's hilarious that a fictional boy band is as good as they are. Josh.
I'm sorry, did you say a character from Turning Red or a character from any other movie in the franchise? I'll take the character from any other movie in the franchise.
That's fair.
That's totally fair. No, I'll be to Fortown, even though they're in a movie that I despise. They are hilarious. Their songs are their songs, I have to give incredible credit to, because they're written by Billie Eilish. Like, Billie Eilish, somebody who's like younger than me, writing pop songs that were like writing music that's like supposed to be like pop songs that are kind of like before my time. It's kind of hilarious. When you stack it up against Fear, you're taking something that doesn't do any, I don't know, man, this is a kind of even for me, because Fear doesn't do anything for the story either. Fear's kind of just not even that funny in it. So, I mean, as much as I really dislike Turning Red, I might have to go Four Town on this.
Four Town for life!
Four Town. Wow. For now. Four Town for now. Like, let's wait till the next matchup. They might be going.
Yeah. This one's kind of easy for me because Fear is voiced by Bill Hader.
Right, yeah.
And I love Bill Hader so much. And like Josh said, like, and like I said about Anger earlier, like, Fear's not the most, he doesn't have that much agency. He doesn't do much. He's not that, you know, important to the plot, and he's not even really that funny, but he has some moments. But I love Bill Hader, and I hate boy bands. So, and I do like Billie Eilish. And so that's a good point there, but I'm gonna have to go with Fear on this one.
I love it.
Well, fair enough, but we don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, because I already got outvoted. Yeah.
All the way.
For now. Four Town for now.
There's gotta be people that are mad at you at me and you, Josh. Oh well. All right. Our next matchup is an interesting one. I can't believe that we have to compare these characters, but that's what this is all about. We have Terry and Terry from Monsters U and Bonnie from Toy Story 3 and 4. I think it is Josh Clark's turn to start. What say ye?
All right. This is hard because kind of like when we did Andy, Bonnie's not, she's a side character, but she's also a very pivotal character. Now, I haven't watched Toy Story 4, but her role is really sweet in Toy Story 3, and almost really insofar as it serves Andy's story, really. And I don't know if there was plans to make a fourth one at that point, but I felt like her character was like sort of a passing of the torch moment and sort of a wrapping up for Andy's journey with these toys. And just a character that existed to show that they were going to be okay. And that Andy was going to be okay without them. So I really like Bonnie as a character insofar as what role she has in Toy Story 3, and how she might develop past that, I'm not really aware of. But Terry and Terry from Monsters University are some of my favorite characters from the Monsters, just like the Monsters little franchise. They're the like crux of a lot of the humor, I think, in that movie. And I really, you know, and talking about like agency and relevance to the story and everything, I love all of their antics, and the dynamic between the two of them and between them and Mike and Sully. You know, Mike and Sully on their own seem like a couple of weirdos or misfits, kind of, especially in the first film relative to the other monsters. But then when you meet Terry and Terry, it kind of reframes them as like they've got their life together compared to these guys. So I think I'm going to go with them over Bonnie.
Right. As someone who has watched Toy Story 4 and is frustrated by Toy Story 4, I feel like the Bonnie we get in Toy Story 3 is so similar, but also so different. And there's things about her, that frustrate me in four. I think if I remember right, Josh, that I picked her as my least favorite character in Toy Story 4, just because of the way she treats Woody, which I know is she's just a kid, but and so I have my frustrations with Bonnie, so I'm going with Terry and Terry as well. The bit about one of them being an arts major and the other one just not being an arts major is so funny to me, and just hilarious. So that's my vote. Josh?
I would have gone Bonnie, personally. I go Bonnie, but it's irrelevant because I'm outvoted. So I like Terry and Terry, but I guess the who Bonnie is in that franchise, I appreciate what she did for the toys and for Andy in three. There is a level of frustration that I have because I don't like four. And it's not just like there's parts of four that I've thoroughly enjoyed, but I like when shows or movies or franchises wrap things up neatly, even if they could have like beat the dead horse for more. Like, I wish that the movie didn't exist because three capstoned a franchise really well and it would have been a really great trilogy. But then I feel like they took it a step further, and Bonnie is how they were able to take it a step further. So there could be some frustration there, but I do still think Bonnie over Terry.
Yeah.
Terry.
All right. We are moving to the next one. Our next matchup is John from WALL-E and Atta from A Bug's Life. Josh Hall.
Princess Atta. Yes. I almost totally screwed this up by thinking that it was Dot. Anyone but Atta. My least favorite character in that movie, maybe one of my least favorite characters in Pixar, bar none. Like, she just, I do not like her. I don't like the way that she makes decisions. I don't like her role in the movie. I was constantly frustrated by her. So, and John is a good character, grows a lot, is one of the first like fully like really impacted by WALL-E. Probably the second best character in that movie to WALL-E. Not very close because WALL-E's so great, but a great character, very lovable, and sacrificially at the end of the movie. So definitely going with John.
Josh?
So I'm a little confused. Is John...
John is just like the regular guy that matches up with Mary. That's what I thought. Like woken up by WALL-E, just like being bumped into him.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, is John not just that guy who's not super significant?
John is that guy who's not super significant, but he's not Princess Atta.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the thing. I love WALL-E, and I love the whole like sort of thought experiment behind WALL-E, and a simple characters like John and Mary are sort of at the heart of that story working. I really dislike A Bug's Life, and that's probably a hot take because it's one of the earlier films. So just generally, I'm not partial towards A Bug's Life, so I'm gonna have to go with John as well.
I'll throw Atta a vote. She was definitely manic. She was a little bit crazy throughout the movie. But I mean, she was a part of the movie and was important to what was going on, and served as almost like a heel in some ways to what Flick and Atta and Dot had going on. So it's not with a lot of heart. It's just to throw, I guess, a vote towards A Bug's Life. John wins this round, but I don't know how long for this.
That's funny that you're throwing it there. Josh, you're in good company. I mean, Bug's Life is the next to last in Zach's list and in Lampstomp's list. Only worse than that is Cars 2, and it's not that far off.
Yeah. So
Cars 2 is really bad.
All right, boys, I think this next matchup might be the absolute hardest one on the board. It is Crush from Finding Nemo versus Doug from Up.
Oh.
That is a matchup, boys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is that why you lined this up so that way you got to go first on this one?
I do have to go first on this one.
Yeah, I have thoughts.
So Crush is obviously a huge portion of why Marlon does what he does, as far as like being kind of a looser dad and learning to trust Nemo more. But Doug is such a good boy. And man, I'm going to go with Doug. I don't really have a reason. I thought about it in the moment and that's where I throw my vote. So that's what I do. All right. Josh Clark.
Yeah. I definitely have a lot of, emotion tied up in both of these characters. Nemo was one that I grew up with really young, and honestly, Crush was one of my favorite parts of that movie. Objectively, I like Up better as a film, and I think that Doug's character. Yeah, I don't even need to go into a whole like deep analysis. I would pick Doug as well, just because. He does more basically, like even though Crush serves for a lot of like great moments, he has some really funny lines and he is like a large part of the motivation for the hero. Doug is all of that and more. Like he also does all of those exact same things and does more. So I love Doug. So sorry, Josh, if you were going to pick Crush, but...
I am actually glad that you guys landed on Doug because I wanted to vote for Crush, but I don't think that he deserves to beat Doug. So I get to vote for Crush.
Nice,
and it's
nice.
Because Crush is fun. I also have a little bit of personal emotion tied up into it because with Addy, one of the things that I'll do is give me some Finn noggin, dude, and she'll do it with me. Like she'll give me a high five, really she'll bump her head into mine, and she'll laugh when I say dude. So... there's some emotion tied into Crush that's a little bit more than probably Crush's character necessarily deserves to get the vote. Doug definitely deserves to win it, but I'm voting Crush.
All right. Doug moves on. That was a tough round. That could have been later on in the bracket.
Yeah.
For sure. That was a tough matchup. All right. Our next matchup is Mac from the Cars universe and Colette from Ratatouille.
Oh, that's not fair.
Josh Hall.
Okay. Dude, this is not easy.
No.
Hold on.
This is not easy.
Where did this go?
These are very different kinds of characters too. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Cause Mac is a very supportive side character, but Colette's is almost antagonistic, but to prop up one of the main characters to help the main character grow. And Mac is very loyal, even though Lightning is a absolute jerk to him all of like the whole first movie until the very, very end. Like he just mistreats him, but he stands by his side. But some similar stuff happens. Colette is deceived and she still ends up taking his side. So I think I'm gonna have to go Colette on this one.
All right. Josh, thoughts?
Yeah, so I hate that this is where I kind of always fall, but similarly to like Doug and Crush, Colette's a more important character, basically, like,
yeah,
than Mac for sure. Mac is a great character. If he was a real person, I feel like he'd make a really good friend, like Josh pointed out. He's very loyal. But Colette, in some sense, at least for Linguini, is like the goal at the end of the story, you know, like what he's chasing. And then also becomes more than just something that's attainable, but she becomes an ally and becomes like part of that story, who's like helping him strive towards victory. And victory becomes more than just getting the girl, but saving this place and even like saving all these rats, you know? So, and she takes the leap of faith and jumps on board with that. So yeah, Colette definitely takes it. And as I noted earlier, like Ratatouille is my number one Pixar film. Huge fan of Ratatouille. So yeah, definitely got to give the nod to Ratatouille with Colette.
For sure. It's going to be a clean sweep. I think that she might be, she didn't get a whole lot of screen time in the movie, but I think what she did get, you can see that she's like, she's realized who she is before meeting Linguini. I think she's a very well fleshed out female character. And so before really the movie starts. And so having that for her, I think is really, really great. And so I think she moves on.
Zach, I'm going to take a really quick, maybe not super quick, but a little detour. And extend what is already going to be a very long podcast, because I want to ask Josh a 22 question that you asked me from Ratatouille.
I don't even remember what this was.
Josh, if you could go to a restaurant that you knew where the food was incredible, like it is some of the best food ever, but you are aware a rat is the one that is making the food, would you eat there?
Now, if the rat, like Remy, washed his hands.
I don't think that that's really cleaning his hands. But yes, it's Remy and he washes his hands.
I think if it's Remy and he's washing his hands and it's hot food that's cooked, you know, like boiled water and... Yeah.
That was all. I like that question.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I'd eat it at Le Ratatouille. Like...
All right. The next matchup, I'm going to jump up here, is two in the Cars universe. So this might be an interesting conversation. We have Sarge, which is like the like army retired guy throughout. And then we have Doc Hudson, the super spy from Cars 2. Josh Clark.
No,
Doc Hudson is, never mind. I was thinking of Finn McMissile. My goodness, I'm so sorry. Doc Hudson is the old racer kind of guy in the town in Cars 1. I'm so sorry about that mistake.
Woo.
I know that
it would have been a closer fight if it was.
Yeah, right. That definitely would have been closer.
All right, Josh Clark.
I got to go with Doc because he's kind of the heart and the he's the Obi-Wan to Lightning McQueen's Luke Skywalker, you know. Yeah. He's really the old sage that sets him on the course to overcome his dragons and find victory. So yeah, I always love those kinds of characters. So yeah, Doc is a special part of the first Cars film for sure.
Definitely.
And the third.
Yeah, I was gonna include the third as well.
I haven't seen Cars 3, so
I feel like his role in Cars 3 is super important as well as being even though he's passed, almost like Obi-Wan in some ways, kind of finding meaning in other things other than racing, and finding that Doc did that with Lightning, and so I definitely think Doc Hudson is an easy one here. Sorry about the mishap on figuring out who this was, but yeah, Doc Hudson is for sure my vote here. Josh.
Yeah, clean sweep. Doc, I love the mentor. It's part of why I like three the most of them, is because Lightning takes that role. Sorry, Josh, to spoil things. But I've got to go Doc
for sure. All right, our next matchup is two in the Toy Story universe. We have Giggles McDimples from Toy Story 4, and we have Ham. I think I know where this is going. Josh Hall, what are your thoughts?
Ham, next.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say one word.
Yeah, I think Yeah.
Pickles is fine, but is, like I said, there's the side characters and of a small circle, and then there's a side characters that's a bigger circle, and Ham's in the small circle.
For sure. I think we can have more conversations about Ham later on in the podcast, as we vote for him later. So why don't we just go ahead and move on? All right. Our next one is another Toy Story matchup here. We have two of the femme fatales in Toy Story universe. We have Mrs. Potato Head and we have Bo Peep. Now. Now.
I got a thing or two to say.
Me too.
Yeah. I'll wait my turn.
And I,
Mrs. Potato Head.
Next.
Yeah.
I understand why Bo Peep, the character, is a good character. I do understand that. I do understand why someone could watch Toy Story 4 and understand why she's a good character and understand why she's there and understand why what she's doing is great. But the way that she relates to Woody at the end of Toy Story 4 is probably the most frustrating thing in Pixar for me. And so as a frustration vote, I do have to go for Mrs. Potato Head, just because it's so frustrating the way that the Toy Story 4 ends. And yeah, so that's my vote. What do y'all think?
Mrs. Potato Head, because, I mean, Woody made his choice, but Bo was part of why he made that choice. And so she's going to forever be tied into
punished. My frustration
about the end of that movie. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I can't get out of my head the when they have the bloopers at the end of the Toy Story 2, at least, and the bit where Mrs. Potato Head just is continually putting
angry eyes.
Angry eyes and an extra pair of shoes.
It's like that's just classic. I haven't even seen Toy Story 4, so I don't even know what you're talking about. But I didn't like Bo Peep in any of the Toy Story films. She reminds me of, man, this is going to be a hot take too, but this is not a Disney podcast, it's a Pixar podcast. I don't like Snow White. I don't like the movie very much. I acknowledge that it is a staple. It's a classic of cinema, and especially for animated films, being like the first real success. But I don't like the movie. I don't like the character. And Bo Peep reminds me a lot of Snow White. So yeah, Mrs. Potato Head takes it for sure.
All right. Our next matchup, we have Dante from Coco, and we have Harris, Hubert, and Hamish, the triplets from Brave. I think I'm starting on this one. This is an interesting conversation. I love Coco. I love everything Coco. And Dante is a wonderful, wonderful character, and I love how he's a spirit animal, and he guides them through the world, and it's great. But the triplets in Brave might be the shining star from that movie. I love what they bring to the table and their funny antics, and then them turning into bears, which I didn't even know the movie was about people turning into bears, but they turn into bears too, and it's really funny. So for this one, I think I'm gonna go with Harris, Hubert, and Hamish. Josh Hall.
For sure, the same. I'm on the exact same page. Yep. I was pretty sure that this was the case, so I went back to my notes just to check. I knew that the triplets were my favorite character from Brave. Dante's my favorite character from Coco, so it's a good matchup.
Wow.
I'm surprised I actually still have that sheet. But I gotta go with the triplets. They're so much fun. They are so funny, and I will always go back to the moment where one of them is like poking their head up with the key, like, oh.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to any of that because I just agree. Definitely the triplets for me. So yeah, that's a clean sweep for sure.
Awesome. All right, our next matchup, we have two females again. We have The Manticore from Onward. And we have Holly Shiftwell from Cars 2.
Ew.
This is Josh Clark's turn to start, I think.
Yeah. I will say, out of the travesty that was Cars 2, Holly's probably one of the better parts, I guess. Like, one of the least trash things that came from that movie. But Onward is, like, one of my favorite Pixar films, really one of my favorite animated films, period. And the Manticore is admittedly not one of my favorite elements, not one of my favorite characters. But the Manticore wasn't in Cars 2. So yeah, that's where I stand.
Gosh.
Not necessarily that the Manticore is not in Cars 2, but the Manticore is not a spy car. That's my biggest issue with Cars 2 is the spy gadgets part of it. And she's just, I didn't care for her in the movie. I didn't care that. And I like the Manticore's role, like growing and going with the mom. And so I've got to go Manticore.
Yeah, one of the cool things about Onward is that everyone is having their own growth narrative, almost like when I talked to Isaac for that interview podcast, he said that movie feels a lot like a game of D&D, and everyone has their own role to play, and everyone has growth throughout the movie, and so seeing that is just a really cool thing, and the Manticore is the same, and so yeah, she definitely moves on for me. All right. We have our next matchup here is, I think going to be an easy one. We have Winston Dever from, that's Incredibles 2, right? Winston Dever from, Incredibles 2. And we have Jesse from Toy Story. Josh Hall, I think it's your turn to start.
Jesse, next.
This one's an easy one. We'll probably have a lot to say about Jesse in the upcoming rounds. But yeah, I think Winston Dever might be a very unforgettable character in The Incredibles 2. So
I'm gonna have to agree with Josh on that one. Jesse's kind of like one of the things about Toy Story 2 that propels the story forward for the characters, like almost justifies there being a sequel, is by introducing a character with so much emotional depth and weight, and something that makes Woody in a new way question things and yet come out the other side stronger in his faith, if you will, in Andy. And in a way, Jesse gets to like have one of my favorite character arcs throughout that film out of anybody in the Toy Story story. So yeah, Jesse definitely versus random suit guy number 12.
Correct. All right. So our next matchup is the final matchup in the first round. We have two dads in the Pixar universe. We have Massimo from Luca, and we have Hector from Coco. All right. So I think this is my turn to start. This one's an interesting conversation, I think. I think a lot of what Massimo brings to the table is just a good dad, and we see that he becomes almost like a father figure for Alberto at the end of the movie as well, and even through a short that has come out since then. But also Hector, I love just his whole storyline of a guy that just made a mistake and has had to pay for that mistake literally all the way through the afterlife. But because of just random happenstance and family and love and music, he is able to be forgiven of that mistake and brought back into the family. And I just think that is the coolest storyline ever, And that's why I love Coco so much. And Hector is a huge part of that. And so while I do agree that Massimo is a wonderful, wonderful father figure, Hector takes the cake for me in this matchup. Josh Hall.
I have to say, initially, when I looked at the two, that was my first, that was my gut reaction was Hector. But when I thought about it more, not only is he a good father figure, he's a really good father. And I don't want to, though Hector's like redemption story is really great, and who he is to Miguel in the movie, in the afterlife is wonderful. He was not there for his wife or his daughter. In fact, he actually left them to go pursue music. And so I actually have to go with Massimo because he was a great father. He was protecting his daughter, and he even became a great father figure to someone who didn't have a father. So I definitely have to go with him.
Right, Josh?
Didn't expect to be the deciding vote here, but I gotta go Hector because, well, first of all, because I haven't seen Luca. But also because I loved Coco and Hector was my favorite character in Coco. So I think, yeah, I think everything that you both said already, but just his arc and his story. And also just, I particularly appreciate when in a film, there's like plot elements are cleverly concealed until they're revealed in time,
yeah,
that makes for maximum emotional effect, basically. And so the first time watching Coco, it's just an emotional roller coaster because as you're finding out more of what the truth is, Hector becomes more and more and more of a sympathetic character. And by the end, it's like, oh, wow, I love this guy. So yeah, definitely going with Hector on that one.
All right.
Sorry, Josh.
I definitely think Massimo is definitely a good shout there. Though, Josh, I think that is not a bad choice. All right. So that was the first round. So why don't we go ahead and move to the second round? Our first second round matchup we have is Andy from Toy Story and our Luxo Lamp. Josh Hall, your turn to start.
Loved Luxo, staple of Pixar, but Andy is arguably even more of a staple to Pixar. And so it's got to be Andy for a lot of reasons, but the only warrant that I think you can give to the Luxo Lamp, I think Andy even beats in.
Yeah, for sure. Josh?
This one's tougher for me because they are so similar in like why I picked them in the first place. Like Josh said, like staple to Pixar, just sort of synonymous with the brand almost. I think because Andy technically is a character, part of me is like, oh, branding. I love that. I work in branding. I work in stuff like that. So I almost want to pick the like Pixar mascot, so, as it were, in the lamp, but I can't in good conscience, really advance an inanimate. Well, he is technically animate, I guess. What I'm saying is I'm picking Andy because he is technically a character. And so in the side characters bracket, we got to let him go further than the lamp.
I think that I agree. Our titular lamp from Lampstop has made it as far as it's going to make it in the bracket, and Andy moves on. All right, so our next matchup is an interesting one. We have Thor Town versus Destiny. Josh Hall.
I'm going to go Destiny because there's depth to the character. I don't particularly like either of these options, but Destiny at least has like character and some movement and a piece in the story. Four Town's fun and their songs are funny, but it's overall, I think I'm gonna have to go Destiny.
All right. When I said earlier that I was Four Town for life, I didn't mean that I was Four Town for a few rounds. I meant that I was Four Town for life. And so I am doing what any honorable man would do, and I am voting for Four Town, which is hilarious. Because now Josh, who has seen, I think, neither of these movies, which of these characters is moving on.
Well, again, I hate boy bands. And this whole Four Town forever, Four Town for life thing has got to be put to an end. So I think I got to go with Destiny. Hey, I'm here partly to be a tiebreaker. And again, like the idea of that character from reading the description is funny. And so, yeah, I gotta go with Destiny.
Man, that hurts my, my heart, but I completely understand, and I'm glad you did it, if I'm being honest. So I wouldn't have to keep up the bit. All right, our next matchup is John from WALL-E and Terry and Terry from Monsters U. Josh Clark.
Ah, man. So I talked a bit about each of these earlier. I think I got to go with Terry and Terry, though, for the same reasons I stated earlier, just that their agency in the story of that one and their comedic value maybe outweighs the how much John is kind of like an example of the good things happening in the story in WALL-E. So, yeah, Terry and Terry got to advance for me.
For sure. I think what Terry and Terry bring to Monsters U is more than what John himself brings to WALL-E. So I would have to agree. Josh?
I think that is great observations. I'm going to go with John just for the fun of it. I like John.
Makes sense.
But it's irrelevant.
All right. We have another really tough matchup, in my opinion. We have Doug from Up, and we have Rex from the Toy Story universe.
Ooh, jeez.
This is the second one that Doug's been a part of that has just been a bloodbath, in my opinion. I think both of these characters have a lot to bring to the table. And I think that a lot of what Doug is dealing with himself, it almost presents it in the perfect time for both Carl and Russell, and they both need Doug at the same time. Even though Carl is annoyed by Doug at the beginning, he needs Doug because of the companionship and stuff that brings. And so, yes, Carl lost Ellie, but he gains Russell and Doug. And I think that is just a really, really cool part to that, why that movie matters and why that movie is so important. I love Rex. I adore Rex. I think he's one of the best Toy Story characters, but I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I think I'm going to vote for Doug on this one. Josh Hall.
I'm kind of cheating here. Just for the fun of looking at this, I got to go with Doug.
Wow.
He is such a good boy. And though Rex has more aspects to him at different times, like, I think that, like you said, he is so crucial, not to the story of Up necessarily, but what the role he plays in the life of the characters from Up is so important. And so, yeah, I've got to go Doug. And I'm going to be honest, like, I looked back, like, the past two rounds Doug's in, he's hard fought. Looking forward at what I think projections might be, he might have an easy path to potentially win this whole thing, especially like having overcome such huge characters already.
Yeah. Yep. I gotta sort of retweet everything that you guys have said regarding Doug. I talked about Rex earlier. I love Rex. But Yeah, but what Doug means for the other characters in Up, and really just Doug as himself. Like Doug, the character, is just fun. So yeah, definitely. And it's sad but easy choice, because I love Rex, but definitely Doug takes it.
All right, our next matchup, we have Ham from Toy Story versus Colette from Ratatouille. Josh Clark, why don't you start us on this one?
Oh, cool. I'm glad I get to start because I have thoughts on this. Honestly, it's that Ham is somewhat similar to our previous contender against Colette, Mac from Cars.
Voiced by the same guy.
Yeah, voiced by the same guy. A different sort of character. Of course, Ham is more grumpy, more like comedic character, and Mac is more just like the like overly loyal friend. Both sort of smaller characters. So this is a similar thought process for me, and it's going to be a similar verdict. Colette takes it here, just over Ham for all the reasons that we discussed earlier.
Josh.
I got to go the same route. Ham is a better character than the
Mac
contender against Colette. Yeah, Ham would have beat out Mac. He's because he's funnier and he plays a bigger role and he's in more movies. But ultimately, Colette is a really strong character, a very impressive character. Zach might have been one of your favorites from it, if I remember correctly.
You're right.
But she's impressive and she plays a huge role in the movie. And so I've got to go Colette.
All right. I'm glad that Colette is moving on, but I'm going to give a vote to Ham just because I can't think about the prospects of Ham and Rex going out in the second round, not receiving a single vote. I just neither one of them. And so I'm going to vote Colette, but I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. But I do love Ham and what he brings to the Toy Story universe. So. All right, our next matchup is an interesting one. We have Mrs. Potato Head and Doc Hudson. Josh Hall.
Okay. I think I'm gonna have to go Doc because I love that that guide role in the story, the mentor. What he does in the first and third movies, the fact that he is not even present. He is not, his voice is not there. His character does not set foot. He's not a part of the movie, yet he is so pivotal to the every choice that's made in that movie that it has to be Doc.
Yeah. Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree with that more. Doc is, as I said earlier, like he's kind of the heart of Cars, the first Cars, and apparently the third Cars. And while I love Mrs. Potato Head and I'll never get out of my head her putting a barrel of monkeys into her husband's backside, I gotta go with Doc Hudson on this one.
Yeah, Mrs. Potato Head's great. And I love the Potato Heads and they're just hilarious. But what Doc Hudson brings to the Cars universe is way better than what Mrs. Potato Head brings to Toy Story. So that I think that's a clean sweep there, boys.
Josh, all right. You got to go watch Cars 3. It is.
Yeah.
If you like Cars 1, you would love Cars 3. Just I think pretend Cars 2 doesn't exist.
Out of all the Pixar films I haven't seen, that's the one that I've heard. Like from what I've heard about it, it seems like the one that I'm missing the most.
Cars 3 is what Cars 2 should have been.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
All right. Our next matchup we have here is the Manticore versus Harris, Hubert, and Hamish. I love both of these character sets, and I really... It's kind of an interesting one because... I don't want to spoil anything or I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I don't really think either of these characters can win the bracket. But I think that this matchup is an interesting one just because of what they do. Harris, Hubert, and Hamish, I think, are more comic relief for me in the movie, where Manticore actually has growth and actually has a part to play in the movie that she's in. So I think I'm going to vote for the Manticore on this one. Josh Clark.
Yeah, this one's a little tougher for me because, like you mentioned, they serve different functions within their respective films. I think I'm going to have to agree with you. The Manticore does have more of an arc. And while I like the triplets in Brave, it doesn't outweigh the Manticore's role in Onward. So yeah, I think I'm going to agree with that.
Josh?
I'm going to throw my vote to the triplets. Absolutely love them. I would have voted for them even if I wasn't just throwing away a vote. I like them more than I like the Manticore. I don't think that either of them are that pivotal or crucial. They could have been replaced in their respective stories, but I like them more.
Sure. Yeah.
Makes sense. All right. Our last matchup of the first round is an interesting one. We have Hector from Coco versus Jesse from the Toy Story universe. Josh Clark, I'll let you start on this one.
Oh man, these are strangely similar characters because they're characters who are kind of they're just barely side characters. They are directly adjacent to our main character of their films. And they both sort of serve as the emotional catalyst for what our hero is going through in those films. I really, really love both of these characters, so this one's hard. I think I have to go with Hector because as much as I love Jesse, and as much as I love her role in Woody's story and the development of her own story, I am a sucker for movies with like plot twists that I think are executed really well, and where it's not really a twist but really just a revelation of what was happening all along. And I love that element of Coco, and Hector is central to that. And he is, I view him very much as like the victim of that movie in a way. Like he's sort of this guy who is very much wronged, and then these things are restored in his life eventually. And I just love his story within Coco. So yeah, gotta go with Hector. Maybe a hot take, but yeah.
All right, Josh.
I've also got to go with Hector.
That is an upset, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is.
I really like Jesse, but Hector really takes a strong fight. Yeah, sorry, battling the elements right now.
outside.
Yeah, so I really like Hector. I think that he plays a bigger role in his story. And I mean, pair him up against, if I'm going two dads and it's a good dad versus a bad dad, I gotta vote the good dad. But in this, I think that he's a little bit more pivotal to the stories. And like Josh has said a couple times, the way in which his relation to Miguel is revealed in the story is perfectly executed.
Yep.
Yeah. I love Coco. Y'all know how much I love Coco. But I would have 100% voted for Jesse on this one. I think that her character, it's almost like you see Toy Story 1 and you think what's missing? Like it's a perfect cast. It's a perfect ensemble. And for her and Bullseye to come in and just kind of fit and, yep. and almost like be like, wow, when I think of Toy Story, I think of Jesse and Bullseye, even though they weren't even in the first movie entirely. There are other characters that I don't necessarily like. There's characters in Toy Story 3 that I don't necessarily think of right when I think of that. And so I think Jessie's a great character, and seeing her past and being able to see her grow into someone who can be loved by Andy, I think is huge. And so I hate to see her go here, but I do like Hector as well. Yeah. All right, that is the second round, boys. Let's move on to the third round. These will start be going a little bit quicker from now on, potentially. So we have Destiny from Finding Dory and Andy from the Toy Story universe. Josh Hall, I'll let you start this one.
Yeah, I got to go Andy. For sure. Also, it would have been Fortown versus Andy. And if you'd have Fortown for life, you would have voted against Andy, which would have been almost like.
Yeah, I noticed that. And that's why I picked Destiny last time. Sorry, Zach.
So I've got to go Andy.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I think this one, Destiny probably went a little bit farther than maybe she should have. She's a fun character in Finding Dory, but in the pantheon of Pixar characters, I don't really think she stands the test of time in a lot of ways. And so Andy for sure is the winner here for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. Nothing more to add on that.
All right. Let's go on to the next matchup. We have Doug versus Terry and Terry. I'll start this one. Easy, Doug. I think Terry and Terry have been a lot of fun. But in a lot of ways they're run in tier at Doug. Don't really need to expound too much because we'll be able to talk about Doug later, but I love Terry and Terry, but what Doug brings to the table is way more. Josh Clark.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer for me. Yeah. That's Doug all the way.
Josh.
Yeah, it's gonna be Doug. This is where we kind of find that some characters had easy paths to the third round and some had harder paths.
Doug specifically has had the hard path.
Doug has had the hardest of all paths. Terry and Terry have only overcome Bonnie and John. So like they haven't even really faced up against like Anger and Crush and Rex would have gone to the third round against a lot of these people, but they just happened to have easier matchups. So, I mean, Doug's for sure got to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next matchup, I think, might be a little bit more difficult. We have Doc Hudson and Colette. Josh Clark, go ahead.
Man, this is a tough one. This is much tougher than the last one. I keep having to talk about Doc Hudson and Colette. I love Doc Hudson and Colette. I think we've said it a couple times before, but again, I think Doc Hudson has to take this one because, at least for me, because of the emotional weightiness of his character to both Lightning and just to like the story. And Colette is a great character. I've spoken to that for sure. But I think it's Doc Hudson for me on this one.
Josh.
Going Doc as well.
All right. Interesting.
You would have gone Colette.
I think I would have actually. I think just I'm not even a Ratatouille like defender at all. But I think her character standing out and being a full-fledged person is great. And then just her willingness to stand by their side is great. I do love Doc Hudson. And what he brings to the Cars universe is vital. Lightning doesn't become who Lightning is if not for Doc Hudson in a lot of ways. And honestly, Doc Hudson doesn't become who he becomes without Lightning. And so their partnership is definitely important in the realm of the Cars, but I'll throw a vote for Colette, but I am not hating on Doc Hudson moving past. All right. Our last matchup to decide who's going into the final four. We have Hector and the Manticore. Josh Hall.
Hector. a little more important of a character in the story. And like we've kind of said, he does do a lot for Miguel, and his reveal and his growth is really great.
For sure. Yeah. I love the Manticore and what she's brought so far, but I definitely think Hector wins this matchup as well. Josh?
Yeah, gotta agree with that. Yep.
All right. That is that round. Our final four, boys. We have a final four. We have Doug, Andy, Hector, and Doc Hudson. So that's,
oh my gosh,
that's our final four, okay?
It only becomes more painful.
And that last round was kind of easy. Most of them, it was kind of obvious. Yeah. This one is this okay.
All right. Why don't we have our conversation about which one do you think is going to be easier? Should we do the top of the bracket or the bottom of the bracket?
The bottom.
Let's do the bottom first. Okay.
Bottom's going to be easier.
I think so too. All right. So we have Doug and we have Andy. I'll start this one off. I love what Andy's brought to the table. I think often just randomly about the scene at the end of Toy Story 3 where he's passing off the toys to Bonnie, and just how he communicates what these toys mean to him. And just, I love that, seeing him grow up. And in a lot of ways, Andy, I grew up with Andy. Andy was probably around 5 or so when the first movie came out, maybe a little bit older. And then when the second movie came out, he had aged a little bit. And then when the third movie, he was going to college, guess who else was going to college? I was. And so, like, I was Andy growing up. I loved the Toy Story universe. I loved Woody and I loved Buzz. But to see Andy grow up, I was growing up as well. And so to see that going on at the same time was pivotal. But I think Doug stands out in a way that a lot of characters in Pixar don't. And I think it's because he's so simple of a character. But I love, I guess, when characters need each other and they don't realize that they need each other. And Carl and Doug needed each other in a very real way. And so for Doug, I think Doug's going to move on in this round for me. Josh Hall. Yep.
So, man. I think I've got to agree with you. I think Doug is the front runner, though. Andy has, there's good arguments for Andy, but it's more because he is what a great franchise is built on, not necessarily because he contributes to that franchise. Whereas Doug he contributes to a really good movie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Doug.
Josh.
Yeah. I have to agree with both of y'all. Like Josh said, like Andy is, he's the basis for so many great things, but he isn't those things himself. And Doug, and his role and his relationship with Carl, and with Russell is, really just one of the things that makes up such a really strong movie, because like you said, the characters just, they need each other. And at the beginning, they don't realize that. And at the end, everything's better because they have each other.
For sure. All right, Doug, moving on into the finals. All right, our last matchup in the final four. This is going to be a tough one, I think. We have Hector from Coco, and we have Doc Hudson from the Cars universe. I will let Josh Hall start this conversation.
Oh man. Okay. So I love a lot about Hector. His growth, he's hilarious, and he plays a really big part, pivotal part in Coco. And if it were just Cars 1 versus Coco, I think Hector would win it. But I can't get past the fact that Doc, without being present in the movie, can be so pivotal to the storyline of a movie. And like you said, Zach, lightning couldn't become who he was if it wasn't for Doc. But that's the case for both movies. He is a big part of why Lightning grows in both movies, and he's not even present in the second movie. So that's huge to me. So I think I have to go with Doc.
All right, I'll go next. This one's a tough one for me, just because of like what you said, Josh. Doc Hudson's story is really great, and figuring out who he is, and through Lightning, and Lightning figure out who he is through Doc. But I just think about Hector's story, and I think about just a man, like I said, that made one mistake, and it was a big mistake, but having to deal with that forever. And I love how, in a lot of ways, him and Miguel's paths are like almost different in a lot of ways, but what they find is similar. Miguel is searching for music. Miguel is searching for family, and what they both find is music and family. And I think that crossroads, lends more to Hector for me, than what Doc Hudson is. And I think this is a very, very close battle. So I'm going to give my vote to Hector, and we'll let Josh over there break the tie.
And, yeah, this is a heavy one, because these are such, you know, we've had great conversations throughout about both of these characters. I think I know what my choice is, and I think I'm kind of astounded by the fact that I haven't even seen Cars 3. And I'm still going to make this choice, but it's got to be Doc Hudson for me. I love Hector. Wow. I've spoken to that. And I love the execution of his story. And how that plays out. And Coco freaking wrecked me at the end of the movie. but Doc Hudson is, like I said earlier, he's like Obi-Wan. And as much as I'm a sucker for a good plot twist, I'm even more a sucker for a good Star Wars parallel. So, but for real, I mean, along the hero's journey, the sage wizard who guides the hero to wisdom and the tools he needs to overcome the bad guys. Those are some of my favorite characters in all of literature and fiction. So Doc Hudson he's tough to beat. He's really tough to beat, so it's Doc for me.
All right, we have our final matchup. We have Doc Hudson versus Doug, and I think that's an interesting matchup, and it's been an interesting path to get here, and so I'm interested to talk this out. What we did with Ethan is, and I think that works for here, is we can just talk things out. Whoever wants to say anything doesn't have to be in necessarily an order. And then we'll throw in our votes as we see fit. Does anyone want to start this conversation?
Yeah. I mean, I just spoke to Doc Hudson. I also, man, this one's really hard because everything I just said about Doc, but everything we said earlier about Doug is still true, that like, his representation of the need for change in Carl is like paramount to that story working. And in a funny way, they're similar characters, Doc and Doug, because they're both like characters that our main character is very dismissive towards in the beginning and sort of disregards them, and doesn't take them seriously. But then by the end, they realize that they're exactly what they need to overcome. I'm not sure if I'm saying anything like one way or another. It's just an interesting observation.
Yeah, that is. I was actually kind of thinking the same thing, that like, Lightning needs Doc in the same, not in the same way, but in a similar way that Carl needs Doug. And so without them in this story, do our main characters become who they become? Do they do what they do? And I think the answer is no. And so these are both pivotal to what they bring to the table and what they have. And so I think that it's definitely an interesting matchup. I think I know where my head's going. Josh, do you have any thoughts before we throw votes out there?
I do. I think to your point, I think that Carl does get to where he is with or without Doug, because I think that Russell does more of the pushing him to grow.
That's fair.
Though Doug would provide more companionship and allow him to kind of stay more of a less of a grump long term, because he's going to be there more than Russell will. But I think that Russell would have a better argument for the being the catalyst for growth than Doug does. Whereas, at least in the first movie, Doc is more of a catalyst for growth than Doug is in Up, I think. Sure. So I think I know where I'm landing.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
All right. Then we'll just give our votes. Do you know where you're going, Josh?
I think I do, and I think I'm a little surprised by it, but if I can give my rationale.
All right.
I think I'm going to go with Doug, and here's why. I love Doc, and I've spoken to that for sure. I think at the end of the day, we're looking at who is the best side character, because that's what these are. They're side characters. And if you look at the first round, like looking at all, you know, 30 something of these characters, a characteristic that most of them have, or at least a lot of them have, and that a lot of the time you want to have in a side character, is like the comedic relief, the comedic aspect there. And there's a lot of similarity in the like narrative and emotional agency of both Doc and Doug. But Doc is not really at all a comedic character. And I'm not saying that to be a good side character, you have to have a comedy element, but Doug has both. Doug is like a funny character. He's also a very deep character, even though he's such a simple character, and he can do all of these things because of the, like, it's kind of like a genius simplicity complexity overlay with his character, because he has all of these feelings and these struggles and these emotions that you see come through, and yet his motivations and his actions are so sort of one track simple. Like literally he's just constantly getting distracted and yelling squirrel, you know. It's like he's on a one track mind, but he's not a one dimensional character. I really love that about Doug, that he could be a character that helps our main characters sort of along the way. And you could also argue, sort of in contrast to your point, Josh, that like, yes, Russell helps more than Doug with Carl, but arguably Russell is also a main character, not a side character. And so Doug as a side character is what brings Russell and Carl together as the two main characters. And that puts him more on an even playing field with Doc Hudson in that regard, I think. And then the added just hilarity of his character. I think I gotta say that as a fully well-rounded side character that we're gonna send to go off against the other half of this bracket, Doug has my vote.
All right. Wow.
Josh, made my case.
I've gotta go with Doc, man. If ultimately we're deciding between, do you, Doug is about the perfect companion character in a story, and Doc is about the perfect mentor character in a story. And so if we're deciding between the epitome of a mentor or companion as a side character, I like the mentor more than the companion, because I think it leads more growth, and it allows for the main character to have a better into their story. And so I've got to go with Doc, the guide, the mentor to Lightning McQueen.
That's fair.
All right. Since I get to break the tie, I'm going to vote for Four Town. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
Can't do that.
I'm kidding. I love literally what both of you have brought to the table, and to be the guy that gets to break the tie is a fun job, but a not fun job at the same time. And I think something I thought about when Josh was talking, and I think it's going to break the tie in favor of Doug. I'll just go ahead and spoil it before I give my whole thing.
Dang
is
it.
That in a lot of ways, what Doug is as a character fills a role that Carl needed because he lost Ellie. I think because Ellie was this like fiery, like almost like a puppy in some ways, in that she was always willing to go and just kind of fun. We definitely see kid Ellie being boisterous and just like adventurous. And then I think more so than Russell does kind of have some of those characteristics, but I think Doug fills a Ellie hole in some ways for him. And so I think that's my explanation. That's my rationale for Doug being the winner of this bracket. And so we have a winner. We have Doug being the winner. Thoughts?
Yeah, congrats, Doug. I mean, Josh, you said it pretty early on, I think in round two, that like it was very possible for Doug to take this one. And
so let's talk through his path. He beat out Crush in round one. He beat out Rex in round two, Terry and Terry, Andy, and now Doc Hudson. So he fought his way to win this for sure. And so I think with our winner of our first bracket being Bing Bong, now we have Doug. I think we have two wonderful side characters. Any final thoughts on Doug or the bracket as a whole?
For sure. Yeah. Well, I just want to say thanks for having me on this thing. Fun coming back and really enjoyed it, and learned about some characters I didn't know about. And I think I might need to go see a couple Pixar movies that I haven't seen, particularly Cars 3.
Yeah. Cars 3 is your homework for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I look forward to seeing what's next. But I just want to say thanks for having me.
For sure, man. We were glad you came on. It's been fun. All right. If nothing else, that has been Lamp Stomp. So we will see you next time. For Zach, Josh, and Josh, peace.